Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I am of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there?
Hey, not much, man. You know what we do on this show? You know, we talk sports and entertainment, and everything else. And of course, that number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to call in and. Of course, we're going to talk about Deflategate. We're going to talk about what's going on in the MLB pennant races with the Mets and the Yankees. We're also going to talk a little NBA news. And, you know, of course, as usual, end it off with a little WWE news. Give a little recap and, of course, preview the upcoming week. But with that in mind, of course, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to let your voice be heard. And with that in mind, let's talk Deflategate here. And as you all know, Tom Brady was previously accused of deflating the football in the AFC Championship game you know, earlier this year, but basically he was originally going to get a 4-game suspension because of that. And as you all know, the Patriots and the NFL, especially the commissioner, Roger Goodell, they had a heated, you know, exchange, you know, feud between each other, and tarnished their usually great relationship that, you know, Goodell and the Patriots had with each other. And, of course, you know, Brady was just recently ruled that he wasn't cheating, and the judge threw it out. So now he's ready for the upcoming season, game one. I believe it's against the Cowboys, if I'm not mistaken.
Steelers.
Oh, the Steelers. My fault. Steelers.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's back. It's like a horror movie. He's back.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Brady's going to be – he's a man on a mission, man. And, you know, he's going to try to win back-to-back championships and his fifth overall. And making him the only quarterback in NFL history to, you know, to accomplish that elite, you know, ranking. So, what's your thoughts on the whole situation?
I think it's BS. I think you know, big Patriots, they get away with this stuff, and just like back in what was it, 1990. What was it again?
2006 or something? 2007,
yeah. They got away with the cheating as far as taping practices. They got away with that. And once again, they get away with this Deflategate. The reason the judge threw out the case is because they said that Brady wasn't given proper notice about alleged misconduct or potential punishment. He wasn't allowed to ask the NFL executive vice president and general counsel about it. He was denied equal access to investigative files. So those were some of the reasons that the judge decided to overturn the suspension and nullify it. But I mean, there's so much evidence in this case that proves that Tom Brady's guilty. He trashed his cell phone that had evidence on it. And you had someone come forward and said that, you know, the balls were deflated. So, I mean, that's enough evidence right there to tell you that he cheated. But,
preach, brother. Testify, yeah. My brother.
Yeah.
Because,
you know?
For real. I mean, the proof of his, you know, all his phones that he had, the phone he had before is fine. The phone he had after that is fine, but the phone that has the alleged incriminating evidence, that one magically is destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Suspicious.
My problem is that Tom Brady, he's a legendary quarterback, might even be the greatest quarterback of all time. But my problem is with him is that this guy is supposed to be that good, man. He doesn't need to be cheating. It's like he's like the NFL equivalent of Triple H. You know what I'm saying? This guy's going to the Hall of Fame. You don't have to cheat to win.
Yeah, true.
I don't get it. I know. I understand you want to get an edge. You know, you want to take any way that you know you're gonna win to ensure that you're gonna have a victory. But damn, man, do you have to cheat? You're better than that.
Yeah. Well. He's going to get away with it, and he's going to be on the field this Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Against the Steelers.
Against the Steelers.
That's going to be another interesting matchup right there.
Oh, yeah. Steelers are very good.
You got Roethlisberger versus Brady once again. So, basically, the Steelers fans, you know, they were probably smiling, celebrating, you know, dancing to that Kool and the Gang celebration song.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was gonna be a cakewalk, but now Brady's back.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
Yep. And unfortunately, you know, this impacts the Jets too. The Jets can't get a break, man. First, Geno Smith, you know, gets sucker punched by his former teammate. And now, you know, Brady's back, and he's going to Jets are going to face them, I think, in week five. So his suspension.
Well, he would have been back by then anyway.
Yeah. So the suspension wouldn't have affected the Jets, like up close and personal, but it definitely would have, you know, improved their chances, you know, of winning the AFC, which, you know, God only knows when was the last time they won the AFC division, because, you know, Brady has had that division in the stranglehold.
Yeah.
You know, so basically, you know, the Jets, I think they won three out of their four games in the preseason, including, you know, week three against the Giants. But now it's for real. Now Ryan Fitzpatrick is, you know, the starting QB, you know, as a result of Smith's injury. And, you know, they recently cut Matt Flynn. So, you know, basically, you know, it's now it's the time for the Jets to put up or shut up, man. They got the pieces, you know, with Brandon Marshall, and you know they got Revis back and Cromartie on defense. They got some talent, you know. So they should make some noise. I mean, I know, the Geno Smith injury is a blow. But then again, we don't know if Geno Smith was gonna finally live up to the, you know,
the hype,
because you know obviously he hasn't, you know, for his career so far, you know, and basically Geno Smith, whenever he returns, if Fitzpatrick, you know, doesn't perform, you know, Geno Smith has to cut down on the interceptions.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Jets definitely have pieces to be a good team this year. Defensively, they look like they could be very good. Offensively, still question marks. You know, you got Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. He's a veteran, although, you know, he's prone to make mistakes. But Eric Decker is back, you know, good wide receiver. You got Brandon Marshall, who's been one of the best wide receivers in the league.
With the
Bears, we'll see how he does in this offense. And you got Chris Ivey at running back, who's had a very good year, and probably should have a better year this year. You know, we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. You hit it right on the head. And basically, they just gotta be on their A game, man, because Brady's back, and it's on. The AFC division isn't gonna be a cakewalk as we assumed it wouldn't be. And then you got the Bills with Rex Ryan trying to, you know, man.
Defensively, Bills are going to be very good.
Yep. So it's going to be a real interesting AFC East battle for sure.
Yeah. It's going to be a dogfight.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. And switching gears from the AFC East to the NFC East, of course, I'm talking about your football Giants. And, of course, they're getting ready for their regular season, and they cut their recent, you know, their longtime punter, Steve Rutherford. And of course, you know, he won their last championship with the Giants a few years ago, about 3 years ago. So, what's your thoughts on the upcoming season, and of course, you know, the end of Rutherford's career as a Giant?
Well, it was unfortunate, but you know, I guess Giants feel that they have a better kicker who will punt and kick better than he did. So you know, good luck to him. It's probably the end of his career, you know, but he's been a good Giant. He had that big kick for us to win the championship several years ago. But yeah, I mean, that's how football is. It's a business, you know. You just got to move on. I think right now, and they got Brad Wing, who replaced them.
From the Steelers in the recent trade.
Yeah, so that should help us greatly. And Giants have a lot of question marks on defense, you know. This defense has to do a much better job getting to the quarterback, covering passes, plays on the field. who knows if the Jason Pierre-Paul ever comes back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that situation is, but who knows when he comes back. They got a lot of pressure marks. They have the parts to be a good team. You know, they have the wide receivers. Victor Cruz is going to come back. He's going to join Odell Beckham, who was super rookie last year.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully he doesn't go into sophomore slump like we've seen with other players in other sports. Running back, they have Rashad Jennings, and they have Shane Vereen. I like that. I like Shane Vereen because, you know, he could catch the ball out of the backfield, which presents problems for other teams. And Eli, he needs to have another good year like he did last year, you know. You know, last year he started off shaky, but once Beckham was in the lineup, you know, his numbers went up. You know, so hopefully we can see Manning to Beckham again, and we could see Manning, you know, throw long field passes and get some touchdowns. Hopefully not make too many mistakes like we've seen in the past from him. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting season from Giants. I don't know whether they're going to be a playoff team or they're going to make it to the playoffs, but it'll be interesting to see how they do this year.
No doubt about that, man. You know, the Giants, you know, they definitely want to rebound. You know, it's been a while. You know, it's been many years since that championship year. And, you know, Todd.
Yeah, that was last time we went to the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time.
4 years.
I know. Extremely long time in the world of sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a result, because of this, you know, Tom Coughlin is going to be in the hot seat. And you know what happens every time.
I feel like he's been on the hot seat for the last 8 years.
Yeah, but do you know what happens every time he's in the hot seat?
He wins the championship.
Exactly. So, you know, this might be his last hurrah, you know. You know, so, you know, he it's a winner. It's like do or die for the Giants, you know, or else Tom Coughlin, he's what, 69 or so?
Yeah, he's up there.
So, you know, this might be his last hurrah, you know. So he's going to try to get that third championship or else most likely they're going to move in a different direction.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, he's had an awesome career. And as the you know, the Giants head coach. And I'm pretty sure the organization and the Giant fans are hoping, you know, he has a little magic left.
Let's hope so.
This upcoming season. So. That's another thing to keep your eye on
yeah.
in this upcoming year. But switching gears, talking baseball. And, we're going to talk about the Mets. And basically, Mets lost 2 out of 3 to for whatever reason.
Miami.
The Marlins.
Right?
Yes, right. The Marlins in Miami. They fell today, earlier today, by the final score, 4-3, Cespedes, the man who's rejuvenated the Mets offense, he hit his 30th home run and probably like his 13th as a Met. I think he's hit like home runs in 4 consecutive days or something like that. And his RBI total is like close to 90 right now. And
Cespedes for the rest of us.
Exactly. Definitely, no doubt about that. And Wilmer Flores, he hit a home run also as well. I believe my memory served me right. He gave the Mets a brief lead, but the bullpen wreaks its ugly head. And other than Familia and Clippard, this whole bullpen has been shaky. You know, they got a new acquisition, Addison Reed, who was a closer for the D-backs a few years ago, but you can't count on him. He blew some games.
Yeah.
You know, basically everybody in the bullpen, you can't really trust those guys. I mean, they're hot and cold, like that Katy Perry song from 8 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you can't trust anybody. And the number one reason why the bullpen's messed up like this is because of Henry Mejia. If he didn't get suspended for a second time, which, you know, just weeks after maybe a week or two after he came back from missing 82 games from the first time suspension, he gets caught for a full season, 162 season, And if he gets caught again, it's gonna be three strikes, you're out, and he's gonna be gone from baseball forever.
Yeah.
He's gonna get the Pete Rose, shoeless Joe Jackson treatment. And because
well, I mean, he is probably not gonna pitch again for the Mets, most likely.
Oh yeah. I strongly doubt that because you can't trust this guy, and he's
yeah.
the main reason. He's the main reason why this bullpen, in my opinion, has imploded because. Other than Familiar and Clippard, who was supposed to be an addition to the team, not a necessity, but because Mets had miraculously got him just before they found out that, that Mejia got caught again. Clippard was supposed to be an addition. He was supposed to be like a three-headed monster, him, Mejia, and Familiar, but... Because of this, and then Parnell, if he would have bounced back, but Parnell, you can't trust him either as a setup guy, let alone as a closer. And as a result, it's just a two-headed monster. It's just Clippard and Familiar.
Yeah.
But the problem is getting the guys to the seventh inning, unless if the guys the starting pitchers aren't completing. You know, that's scary. And basically, that's basically what happened. The Mets, bullpen gave up runs and they lost the game. And Saturday night, Bartolo Colon, he threw a gem, man. He threw a complete game shutout, nine-hit shutout. The oldest Met to do it. He's like, 41 years old or so? 41, 42 years old. Congrats to him. Yeah, the guy, he's a leader on the team. He won, I believe, his 13th game of the season. I think he's 13 and 11.
Yeah.
Trying to remember. And and before that, I don't know if you heard about the whole Matt Harvey drama that's surrounding the Mets.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Basically, the Mets they lost Friday night also, and DeGrom didn't have. DeGrom game, he got a no decision. Mets tried to come back, but they came. I think they came back, but then they blew the lead again, and Marlins beat them. So Marlins won 2 out of 3. But back to the Harvey situation. Basically, Scott Boras, the super agent in baseball, and his doctors are saying that. They think that Harvey, after the 180, innings limit, that should include the playoffs. They should shut him down, a la Steven Strasburg.
Yeah.
And that's just a bunch of baloney, because you like in the words of Herman Edwards, hello, you play to win the game,
yeah.
Especially in the playoffs. Come on, you can't. You can't shut him down. And you know what's funny? I noticed that Strasburg, what does Strasburg, Harper, Harvey, and a lot of the, maybe even Worth too, a lot of the Nationals have in common?
They're all young?
That too. But they're all Scott Boras clients.
Ah.
So basically there's more Nationals than that are Boras clients than Harvey, than on the Mets. Harvey might even be the only Boras client I could think of. I don't know if Cespedes is a client of his. I don't know. But
so you're saying this is Boras is doing?
Yes, I think Boras is doing this, man. He's the puppet string. I mean, think about it. Boras will let you play in Mars as long as you get the highest contract.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then you'll complain, oh, man, my team, they only won 5 games the whole entire season. And then you're going to complain, and then your team, you get traded to some other team, hopefully a pennant race. That's what always happens in baseball. So Scott Boras, if you want him to get you the money, he'll get you the money. But if you want to, go to your dream team or try to take a discount, a hometown discount or whatever, that's not going to happen. Scott Boras is a businessman and he's the best agent in the game, but some people think he's the worst because You know, he's made the free agency a whole different monster.
Yeah, I mean that Matt Harvey situation, that's gonna be the same situation as the Steven Strasburg thing, like you said. I mean,
yeah,
that might be a disaster because the Mets, they're most likely gonna make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either as a division winner or as a wild card. So they have to have Harvey down the stretch and in the playoffs.
Exactly. If they don't have Harvey in the playoffs, currently right now they have a 4-game lead on the Nationals. As they open the series with the Nationals, I should say they're gonna visit the Nationals. They're gonna visit the Nationals starting Monday. So it's gonna be a very important series coming up.
Yeah.
So they have to sweep the Nationals. There's no if, and, or, but. They 2 out of 3, you know, at the minimum. But bottom line is, Mets, if you're going to Washington, don't forget to bring a broom. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if there's snow, sleet, thunderstorm, or whatever. Before you bring an umbrella and your bats, please bring us a broom because they're going to need it. They are going to sweep. They have to sweep the Nationals because the Nationals, they've been talking all this smack. Oh, you know, we don't care about the Mets. But then Friday night when the Mets lost, they were celebrating like it was Game 7 of the World Series.
Were they?
They were. I read somewhere like some insider was saying that the there was like an eruption exploding in the Nationals clubhouse.
Wow.
When they saw the Mets blew the game.
During this division, but they're still 4 games behind, so there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, well, the problem is like every time Mets get close to having a 7-game lead, you know, the Mets lose, and then the National win. So now they're finally starting to gain some ground. Now it's cut to 4. This is the closest the Nationals have been in, I can't even think of how long. So Mets, basically, they got to beat up on the Nationals, and then they're going to face the Braves soon for a 4-game series. And thanks to the stupid Braves that I've hated ever since, you know, I've been a Mets fan and a baseball fan since 99, when I'm rooting for them, they lose the game. And they, unfortunately, I can't believe I'm saying this, that unfortunately the Braves got swept in a 4-game series.
Yeah,
I usually
play horrible.
I know. They've lost at least, 12 straight or 13 straight? I lost count. I mean, they're really embarrassment. I mean, me being sad that the Braves got swept in a 4-game series is like you saying that the Red Sox got swept in a 4-game series. It just sounds weird of me saying that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as usual, the Braves are no help. And basically, Mets got to roll up their sleeves. They got Harvey. They got DeGrom. Nice is going to start Monday night. And they gotta battle them, man. No ifs, and, or but about it. And Wednesday, right now, as we speak, they haven't officially announced who's going to pitch. But as we assume, it should be Strasburg. But Strasburg, as you know, he's pitched more games on the DL than he has with the Nationals. So we'll see what happened with that. Shifting gears with the Yankees. You know, Yankees won earlier today. And what's your thoughts on the Yankees so far in their playoff hunt?
Yeah, so, Yankees beat the Rays 2 out of 3. They won today's game. What was the final score? Today's final score was 6-4. Andrew Miller got his 31st save of the season. Unlike the Mets bullpen, Yankees bullpen has been very effective this year. One of the best bullpens in baseball. Yankees came back today. They're actually down in this game, a 3-0, but in the sixth inning, McCann got he hit a 3-run home run off of Chris Archer, and A-Rod hit a solo home run. So that put the Yankees ahead 4-3, and the Yankees tacked on more runs after that. So they win this game, and they win 2 out of 3, and they also have a big series coming up on Thursday against the Blue Jays, who currently hold a 1.5-game lead on the Yanks. So that's going to be a big series. Hopefully Yankees could win 3 out of 4 to take the division lead
you know, because this Yankees need it, man. I think Yankees need to win division more than they do the wild card.
I totally agree with you, because the Blue Jays don't look like they're playing right now. You know, they got the acquisition of Price, you know, really, you know, ignited them. Of course, you know, the Tula Whiskey trade as well.
Yep.
So yeah, this is not going to be a cakewalk for the Yankees winning the division this year. And Yankees are trying to win their first division in, 3 years or so. So
yeah,
Yankees, they got to get back together.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but.
And another team in New York that we both love that needs to get their act together is the New York Knicks. And reportedly, Carmelo Anthony is recruiting, Kevin Durant and possibly Kobe Bryant to come to the Knicks. And
yeah,
I'll believe that when I see that, because I hope Kevin Durant comes here. But I just don't see it. After the butt whooping, the embarrassment that the Knicks had with the Aldridge, you know, trying to get Aldridge Greg Monroe and all these other guys, and basically everybody played the Knicks. Until someone signed on the dotted line and officially signed, unlike DeAndre Jordan, who agreed to the deal, and then when it was time to sign, he changed his mind and went back to Clippers. Until they officially sign, I maybe not even agree, but a sign on the dotted line, then I'll believe Durant is coming. And Kobe Bryant, you know, he's a typical, superstar, future legendary player who basically they love playing at the Garden, but they don't want to play 81 games. I mean, not 81 games, 40 games at the Garden because basically, and I quote, he was saying like, in a recent he said in an interview, I don't remember how long ago, but he was saying like he loves New York, but the cold weather, you know, he hates it. So I definitely don't see any scenario of the Knicks Kobe Bryant, you know, who's basically most likely going to play his last season, which would be his 20th season. I just don't see Kobe Bryant coming to the Knicks for 1 year and then, you know, retiring. I just don't see that at all.
Yeah, I don't see it either, you know. And the Kevin Durant thing, maybe. You might see Kevin Durant as an – it's a possibility.
It's possible, but they got to revamp the whole team. I mean, you know, they definitely have to have, like, a good shocking season.
Yeah.
That would make Durant look like the final piece of the puzzle.
Right.
They have to be like the Atlanta Hawks, basically. You know, be a feisty team that come out of nowhere. But I just don't see it. Porzingis would have – Porzingis and Grant, you know, two very good picks, you know, in the draft. If they shock everybody and develop into, like, star players rookie year, then Knicks have something cooking.
Yeah, I agree.
And Durant named his top five. Guess what his top five players of all time, if he was making a starting five, what would they be?
Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Magic Johnson.
Yes.
Will Chamberlain.
Nope.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Nope.
Kobe.
Yes.
Two
more, a power forward and a center. You got to think big. And I'll give you a clue. He thought about Karl Malone. But he decided with somebody else. I'll give you a clue. Both of the answers are more contemporary. Well, one of them is contemporary. The other person just retired. Not
Kevin
long
Garnett?
Ago. No.
Shit.
Think of another power forward. And think of a center.
Shaquille O'Neal?
Correct. Now think of the power forward.
Power forward.
A dominant power forward.
Tim Duncan.
Correct. That's his top five, and that's not a shocker at all.
That's not bad.
That's a great pick. I mean, you can't go wrong. I mean, you can't even fault that the top five.
Yeah.
But switching to WWE, it's official. Sting is going to battle. He's going to battle, of course, Seth Rollins. And, of course, Seth Rollins also going to defend his title, his United States title, against Cena in two separate matches, which is going to be very similar to the ROH champion, Jay Lethal. He's going to be doing double duty in this upcoming Night of Champion event. And, of course, the Dudley boys are back, and, you know, they're feuding with the primetime players and, of course, the champions, the current champions, New Day. And, man, I love this rivalry, man. I'm glad the Dudley boys are back, man.
Yeah, they're definitely I love to see another win of old-school guys come back.
Me too.
And the Dudley boys, yeah, they were one of the top tag teams during the app, you know?
Oh, no doubt, man. Yeah, those the Rock and Sockin' Connection and Dudley Boys, those are my two all-time favorite tag teams right there. So glad to see those guys back. Kind of remind me of New Age Outlaw when they returned,
Last year, yeah.
So it's great to see the Attitude Era guys come return and show the young guys how it's done.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw SmackDown, but there's a new stable now. It's Cosmic Wasteland. Basically, the Ascension is now joining forces with Stardust to form the Cosmic Wasteland. So,
wow.
I'm interested. So you didn't see SmackDown, right?
Yes, I saw it, but I didn't see that part. I don't remember that.
That should be interesting. They attacked Neville, if my memory served me right. Neville was supposed to battle Stardust, so that should be an interesting pairing. And speaking of stables, guess who they think is going to team up with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose versus the newly formed Wyatt family? Who? I'll give you three guesses.
You're going to be joining the Wyatt family?
No, they're going to be – this mystery person is going to join the former Shield members to battle the new Wyatt family.
Oh, join the Shield. Oh, okay.
Yes, the new Shield.
Wow. Who could it be? Is it a current wrestler?
Yes, it's a current wrestler, but he's injured. But apparently it's
Daniel Bryan? Return.
No. Two more guesses.
He's injured right now. Damn, who could that be?
I'll give you a clue. When you look at this rivalry, you're thinking, this feud is missing this person. This feud would be more interesting if this person was in it.
Oh, what's his name? Who was on the Wyatt family?
Eric Rowan, correct.
Eric Rowan, yeah.
That's the rumor. Eric Rowan is going to be the Mystery Six member. But you know what I think is going to happen? I think he should join the Wyatt family, make it a 4-2. What probably might happen, because right now they're making it seem like, okay, Eric Rowan, he's angry because Braun Strowman took his spot.
Yeah.
As the new sheep, you know, in their flock or whatever. But I'm thinking Eric Rowan should turn on the Shield and join, reform with the Wyatt family, make it 4-man strong, and possibly even get Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
I think they should get all five of those. They should form all five guys. I mean, once you get to five, that's kind of getting pushing the stable limit. But then again, New Age Outlaw with, DX during the Attitude Era, that's possible. So
yeah,
I think they should do that for sure. And, of course, you know, there's rumors about them getting Sister Abigail, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, if ever. Let me see what else happened on Raw. Basically, Brock Lesnar is going to battle it at October 3rd at MSG. This will be his first appearance since MSG. I forgot who his opponent is. Could be Cesaro. I can't remember. For whatever reason, I can't remember right now.
Yeah, I can't think either.
But interesting enough, Jericho is going to fight there against is it Cesaro? I can't remember who it is either. But basically, he's going to – it might be against Kevin Owens maybe.
Jericho, right?
I think he might be battling Kevin Owens, but I can't remember. But the interesting fact about that is going to be his 25th anniversary of his wrestling debut. And I think he wrestled Lance Storm in Japan 20 years ago. And I think it might fall on the same exact day too.
I see.
And he's going to have Lance Storm, come accompany him to the ring to celebrate their match that they had 25 years ago.
Right.
So that should be an interesting.
Should be interesting.
You know, matchup in next month. Is there anything else? Oh yes, the Divas Beat the Clock match is going to be Nikki Bella defending the title against Charlotte, and Charlotte's going to try to prevent Nikki from breaking AJ Lee's record, Diva Championship, longest reigning Diva record.
I think it's going to eventually happen anyway.
I definitely think it's going to happen for sure, but we'll definitely talk more about that, once the Night of Champions pop up, in the very soon, the pay-per-view event. You have any last words you'd like to say, my friend?
Check out my show IMAX Saturdays at 11, and come back here and check out Sports and Religion every Sundays at 6 with Will and me.
That's right. Check out both shows, Sports and Religion 6 on Sundays, and of course, IMAX 11 p.m. on Saturdays. I'm William Ramo, I'm Macaulay Matthew, and I'll see you guys next week.